How many of you have ever prepped for something, right? Had some speech, some message, some game or something, and it just didn't feel right? And that's how this whole week's been for me. And I mentioned this to a few people until last night, and I was kind of joking about it because, you know, when I prep, I've done this enough now that, you know, I try and I do things, you know, and I, like I said, I prep, and sometimes it just doesn't feel right. Well, I've gotten to a point now with God that it's like, all right, man, you know, I know what's about to happen. You know, something's going to take place, something's going to happen, and then it's going to derail everything that I do, and then that's what I'm going to do. And that's when, really, I choose to just follow God, right, and do that. And that's really what today's about. So today, and it, that all derived from last night, like, put that in perspective. Last night happened, and it's like, okay, yeah, now I know what you're doing. You know, my talk with God is very much one of those, like, well, like that. Hey, man, whoa, what are you doing? What's going on here? You know, and God, I will literally hear God just reply to me and be like, I'm messing with you. You know, it's a relationship. We're going out and we're doing something. I got something going on or whatever. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Where are you at in this? Because I look for God in the everyday life, you know. And I'll ask that question. It's like, where are you at right now? What are you doing? Whatever. Well, you'll find out. I'm messing with you. We'll see. You know, we have that relationship, and I enjoy every bit of it. And that, yeah, that's what happened last night. So today, I'm going to be a little bit different. All right? I got some things I specifically want to talk about. I'm a very logical person, but I am also very emotional. And I'm going to speak to the heart a little bit, right? But I got a few things I want to clarify, and I want to make sure that we understand, too. So last night we talked about forgiveness, right? And we talked about it from a perspective of us and people, right? And it's so important that we be mindful of that. We talked about offenses, right? Offenses with each other. And ultimately, I believe at this point, you know, God cares about our relationship with other people just as much, if not more, than he cares about our relationship with him. I'm going to put that into perspective a little bit later, but the relationships that we have with each other are so important to God, right? There's so much that Jesus talks about that I could literally probably spend all week just on that alone. But, you know, we covered a lot of that last night. At first glance, when I look at forgiveness, I realize that this is an effect. When we are faced with forgiveness, it is the effect of something else. It's the effect of an offense or an offense, right? Something has to happen for us to have to forgive somebody, right? That makes sense? We don't just wake up and go, I'm going to forgive so-and-so today because there's no reason, right? There's always a reason we need to forgive people. Something has to happen due to a cause. So I asked the question whenever we, you know, we were faced with forgiveness, you know, what was that cause? What was that offense? What had to take their place? And forgiveness is the antidote, right? We talked about, or Gene, like, nailed it last night when we were talking about offense being a poison, right? If you allow poison in your life, you allow an offense, it's going to grow, right? And we're going to have this deal. Well, forgiveness is that antidote. I'm sure we're aware by now, between being welcome to the family and everything that we've, you know, discussed throughout this week, that family is kind of the whole point of this all. Relationship is the whole point of Jesus. We build a relationship. We were created to have that relationship with each other. All right? So I have this illustration about an offense that I want to kind of put everything into perspective, and I call it my offense fence, if you will, right? So I want you to imagine for a moment, right, that you have two houses that are together, right, with a dividing line. And when your neighbor, brother, sister, friend, whatever, offends you, we put up this fence, this privacy fence. You all know what a privacy fence looks like, right? Real tall, wooden fence, okay? And from the outside, this offense looks nice, neat, pretty, usually, especially when it's brand new. Neat fence. But what do you look at when you look at it on the inside, right? You see all the wood holding it together. You see all the negative sides of that fence, all the hardware, all the whatever it is. As you build this fence, you see all the hardware. You see all the negative stuff is the point that I'm getting at, right? And usually because it is a privacy fence, the idea is that you can't see in, you can't see out, right? So you have no idea what's on the other side of that fence. Likewise, there's a lot of times we don't realize that we've even offended the other person. And they're looking at us, and we put on this mask a lot of times. So all they see is this pretty little fence. Okay? But we're looking at it from the inside. We're looking at all the hardware and all the gross, right? Not seeing what's going on the other side. A lot of times we like to try and peek over the fence, or we try to like look through the little knot hole. But how many know whenever you look through like a little knot hole or you look through a little hole, you don't get the whole picture. You don't get to see everything, right? We just get to see through that little bit, and it distorts our view of what's going on. We never really know what's even on the other side. It could be another fence. They could have their own little fence. There could be nothing on the other side. Right, we have no clue what's going on as long as we have our barrier up, as long as we have our fence up. And it's not until we start tearing down that fence that we're able to get a glimpse of what is actually on the other side. All right? And sometimes we're able to take down that fence with a huge chunk, right? Sometimes forgiveness, if you get where I'm going with this, comes down with, it's a huge chunk. We're able to just see, right? Sometimes that fence has to come down plank by plank, right? Just like we talked about last night. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, right? But we keep doing it. We keep doing it. We keep doing it. And eventually that fence is gone. And we can see what's on the other side. We can see if that person has its own fence, right? And we get so worked up, and we get nervous sometimes about going and talking to people about our issues, right? About, hey, man, you did this thing, and, you know, I understand where you're coming from and whatever, but I just want to let you know that, hey, this bothered me. That's a hard conversation to have. That's tough. That's difficult, right? But that's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we figure out what's going on. We have empathy for each other. We try to understand others' perspectives, right? And we're able to break down that barrier. And a lot of times, we tear down that fence, and there's nothing on the other side. Neighbor's over in the backyard barbecuing, and he's like, oh, hey, what's up, man? You know, we have no idea what's even going on the other side. But if we take it down plank by plank, we start looking at things from their perspective, and we start learning to forgive each other for the little things that take place, we're able to see what's going on. We're able to start having empathy for each other. That's how you do that. We were created for relationship, again, right? And when we have fences up with each other, it's hard to have that relationship. It's hard to have that open communication. It's hard to hang out, and it's hard to do things like that. And God wants that relationship with you. You know, sometimes we put up a barrier between us and God as well. You know, most of the time, I would say, it's because we feel like we've done something that we're not good enough, or we have something that is in our lives that just, you know, why am I going to do this? And I've been there. I've been there over and over and over again, right? But we've discussed all that this week, right? Like, God hears us. God sees us. God loves us, you know? We see each other. And when we're in that communion with each other and God, like, that's where he wants us to be, right? Loving each other, looking out for each other, being there for each other. Whenever you dive into that mindset, right, and you realize, hey, you know, we all have the Father living in us, right, and we have that relationship with God, we begin speaking, have that relationship with each other, we're having that relationship with God, right? Does that make sense? I know that one's a little bit right? When we're interacting with each other, Jesus teaches us that what you do to others, you do unto me. You've heard that before, right? When you visit those in the jail cell, when you reach out to the homeless, when you do things like that, you're doing that as if you're doing it unto me. I take that very literal. So when we have relationship with each other, we're having a relationship with God, right? And we're there, just like I said a second ago, right? I can hear God through your voice. You are, you know, the voice of God. There's so many times that God is trying to reach this world, and he's trying to do it through us. But we prevent that, you know? Whenever we're like, oh, no, I'm not good enough for that, or, oh, no, I don't need to worry about that, or somebody else will worry about that, you know, that's God trying to reach somebody's life. That's God trying to uplift somebody. That's God trying to be there for somebody, right? You know, and when we just kind of, that's not me, I'm not good enough for that, or I'm not, you know, I'm just, that's me, my own head, you know, we're preventing God from being able to do that. And he's going to find somebody, right? But I'm telling you right now today that God sees you. God hears you. God wants to use you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how talented you may think you are, how talented you may think you're not, right? God wants to use you to go out and reach people. God wants to use you to go out and love people. God wants to show the world how much he loves everybody with you, through you. And if that doesn't make you feel special, I don't know what will. Sorry. People matter to God. Our hearts matter to God. If you notice, I've got a lot of tattoos, right? Thank you. One of the things that I was ridiculed for a while until I just stopped caring was that, well, brother, your body's a temple, right? Shouldn't you, you know, treat it like a temple? Shouldn't you, you know, not desecrate your temple? You know, I used to get condemned a lot for it, right? And I used to believe it. Well, yeah, you know, I don't know, whatever, and kind of go with it. But they're missing the perspective. They're missing the point, right? We all agree. We all know, like, our bodies are temple. We all understand that God has set himself up inside of us. Like, we'd say all the time that, you know, God lives in you, right? You're his holy dwelling place. He takes joy in being in you. But we miss the significance of what that means, right? If you think back to the Jewish Israel time, right, where they had the temple, right, what was there? What took place there? The sacrifices, right? They gathered there, right? God dwelled literally in the Holy of Holies. God's not telling you, when people tell you, oh, your body's a temple, don't drink caffeine, don't do this, don't do that. It's not the point. The point is that you are his temple. That temple, the literal temple, was everything. Everything to them. So what God is telling you is that when you're my temple, you are my everything. I take up residence inside of you. It is through you that this entire new covenant, this whole thing is done through you. You are my everything. I love you. Does that make sense? I ask that question a lot because I want to make sure that, like, I don't need to explain it a different way, all right? So feedback is great. I love feedback, okay? Does that make sense? All right? I want you to understand, you are God's temple. He has set himself up inside of you, and he wants to use you to get out here and reach the world, to show people how much he loves them. You are his everything. I was talking earlier this week, and the question came up. I'm totally stealing this, Michael, but we were talking, and he asked the question, what does God call you? I want you to think about that for just a second, right? I already told you you're his temple, right? I already told you he loves you, and I told you how much he loves you, right? What does God call you? Because this is your perspective. How you answer that to yourself should be able to tell you a lot. Your initial thought should tell you a lot where you are mentally, right? Because there used to be time, there used to be a time that I used to think, well, God's not going to call me anything. God doesn't care. I'm invisible, right? I don't need to be seen. I don't have anything special, talents. You know, God, I don't know. I didn't know what God called me, right? And there was a time that I was, oh, well, I'm just a sinner, you know? I'm a sinner saved by grace. Like, how many of you heard that phrase before? Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That is the biggest load of poop, since we're on this poop kick. It's your fault. You started this, right? That is the biggest load that I have, one of them anyways, that I've ever heard of, right? What sense does it make to say that I'm a sinner saved by grace whenever the Bible tells me, that God tells me, that I am righteous, that I am redeemed, that I am loved? I'm not just some lowly sinner. I've been brought into the family. I have brought into the family of God, right? First night, family of God, welcome to the family. God doesn't see me as anything less than Jesus. That's a big statement for some people. That might get you a lot of slack from some people. But I want you to know that you have been brought up to that level. God loves you as Jesus. All right? I want that to sink in for a second. All right? It's not prideful. Right? It's not like you're going to get, you know, in trouble for thinking this, all right? It's not a pride thing, all right? There's a difference between you working yourself up and being able to walk around as if I'm, you know, on fire, walking on water, and Jesus reaching down and pulling you up to where he is. I would go as far as to say that I serve a Father that loves me so much that I could walk to him in his throne room in heaven and go, God, Papa, I want a cool seat like you got. That looks cool. And he'd go, oh, you want one? Come have a seat. Or better yet, yeah. Right? Because God knows that I'm not looking for any of that. God knows that I love him. We have a relationship. When my daughters want to come hang out with me whenever I'm in my nice, cool, big recliner at home, I'm going to either get up and give it to them, or they're going to come sit on my lap and we're going to watch Super Mario, which was really ironic, by the way, because my kids are on that, like, right now. It's like the new Frozen. It will not stop. It's crazy. So that was cool. But if I have that kind of love for my daughters that I'm going to give up my seat, what kind of love does the Father have for me? Because I can't even begin to fathom his love. Right? It's going to blow mine out of the water. I want you to think about that, right? God doesn't just kind of love you. God doesn't just kind of do anything. We kind of do things. God goes all out. I mean, look at the cross. Can anybody say that God doesn't go all out when you look at the cross? All right, look, these guys ain't got it. They don't understand love. Here, let me go show you. Not only that, but what does Jesus say about love? No greater love is there than for a man to lay down his life for his brother. What did Jesus do? Laid down his life for all of us, right? That kind of love has no limits. And God loves you that much. If you ever want to know the point of the cross, there's a whole list of definitions of things the cross does, right? But that's it. That to me is that main thing. I grasped that and I was like, oh my. It's Jesus going, I love you this much. And there's nothing anyone else can do in this world to show you any greater love. Because he's already done it. The significance of that. But what if I don't feel good enough? What happens when those thoughts creep in that say that I'm not good enough? what do I do then? 1 John 3:18 says this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth." We belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. God knows how you feel, but God also knows your worth. He knows what you are capable of, even when you don't think you're capable of it. I bring all of this up because understanding His love for you is the key to understanding the eternal forgiveness that you have. It's all rooted in love. It's the eternal righteousness that you have. First John 4:7 says this, "Dear friends, let us to continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God." Do you see a theme here? God in us, us in God. What I said earlier? Here we go. "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love." Again, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. I want to go back to this. There's so much in there, but like, that summarizes everything that I just said, right? Love God. God is loved. He's shown us how much He loved by sending His one and only Son. And since He loved us, surely we can love other people. Surely we can show the love of other people. And not only that, but He's given us His Spirit to live in us so that we can see the love of God. Verse 9 sticks out to me a lot here. And this is where last night has kind of come into play. It says, "God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in love, or who live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment." Guys, we live in fear a lot. We live in fear of condemnation. We live in fear of what the future may hold, right? There's not a lot of things that I'm afraid of, right? Can I get three of you? Cecil, Michael, and I'm trying to decide which one I want. Blake, come here. There's not a lot of things I'm afraid of in this world, okay? I just kind of stand. family, losing my family, you know, other things. For those of you who don't know me, though, I spent some time in the Marine Corps. I've been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan. You know, I've been in those environments. So after that, there's not a whole lot that really gets to me. But there is one thing that I actually am terrified, and it's actually beyond just your stereotypical family, your stereotypical, you know, like what everybody's afraid of, right? And it's this. I hate these things. I absolutely hate these things. For those of you who can't see it, it's a balloon. I'm going to give this to you. So I'm going to do something. I said I was going to speak from the heart, a little bit different than normal. And I want you to hear me out. Hear what I mean, not what I say necessarily, okay? I've given each of one of them a balloon, which not only is literally something I'm terrified of, right? But it also represents a whole lot. So if you don't mind going ahead and blowing those up, we ask you all the time, right, to step out of your comfort zone. We ask you guys all the time to do things that you're uncomfortable with, right? So I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to be uncomfortable for a while. And I'm going to show you what it's like to face your fears, right? But I've picked these three people. I can't even talk because of this. I've picked these three people for a very specific reason. This guy, for all intents and purposes, is my dad. This guy has basically raised me. He's taken me in whenever the family that I had could care less. There have been times that he's taken me with his own son so that we could go out and have Father Sundays, golfing, just anything, so many things, and you'll never understand how much I respect that. So this is my family. Family. This guy over here I've gotten to know since camp, and this is somebody that I would consider one of my best friends. I can confide in this person in anything. There's nothing that I'm afraid to tell this person. And again, you'll never understand how much you mean to me. This guy, I don't know a whole lot. You know, we got to see each other a couple times in camp. I don't know how many times it's been now. It's been a few, right? But I remember one thing. It was last year, a couple years ago before, right? And you guys, I think it was you and, Jacob? I think Jacob did it, yeah. You guys got up and had a dance competition. I think it was last year, yeah. And I believe you had said something about being afraid of it, you know, getting up in front of people, and you did it to kind of loosen up. But that was courage. You faced a fear, right? And family, friends, and this is, you know, I don't want to say future friends because I feel like we are friends, right? But, like, even people that you don't necessarily know very well, but that can inspire you to do things. So this is inspiration. Right? All three of these individuals are holding something that I hate. I'm sure you remember last night, almost every single one of you had one of these things in your hands. I sat back there, terrified, because of what these represent to me. Right? I was leaned over, bent over. Couple times I literally had tears in my eyes. My anxiety shot through the roof, right? My wife came up to me and was like, hey, if you need to go, I got this. But what I told you this morning or earlier when I first got here about not really feeling like what I had to say, what I had prepped was the right thing to say, I felt like God was telling me, hang on, right? Face this. I'm a very analytical person, right? So I was like, all right, whatever it is that you've got going on. Mind you, this entire time I know they're still back there, right? But I wanted to see what it was. It's like, all right, God, what do you got for me? What's going on? Because whatever's happening here tonight, whatever it is, this thing that Gene has done, you've got something in it for me. And it's going to take me stepping up, manning up, and facing my fear to get through this. and I'm gonna see what this is, right? The people you surround yourself with, the family that you have, those relationships and those bonds that you have can help you to face your fears, whatever they may be. Don't let your fear prevent you from being God's voice. Don't let your fear prevent you from being God's feet. Don't let your fear prevent you from being God's heart. God is trying to love the world through you. And I believe, honestly, that there's a whole lot of bad in this world because there's a lot of us that are afraid to let God work through us. We're trying to live in the future. We're trying to move on, right? So all three of these gentlemen are holding something that I hate, right? But I trust all of these people up here, even though they're holding something that I absolutely hate. Don't let your fear prevent you from living out God's plan for your life. Verse 10 in that same passage says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He first loved us." Psalms 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind still waters, and He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely my goodness and my mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." When I have people like this standing behind me, and I have God living in my life and in my heart, and I know that He's with me, that verse changes for me. And I read it like this. "As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death is no more. I fear no evil because You're with me. Together, we are the biggest, baddest thing in this valley. And there ain't nothing that's going to come up against me. Death runs at the sound of our footsteps. It creeps and it hides in the shadows because it knows that it's been defeated." Everything that I've done, like overseas and stuff like that, sitting around wondering as vehicles were passing by or wondering whatever they may be, when my time may come or whatever the thought process that was going through my mind that day, that's what these represent. That's why I have such a hard time with these. Sitting in the back, never know, then all of a sudden random explosions going off, gunfire and stuff like that. That's why these bother me. Will you pop that? Face your fears, but know that you are never alone. Because even if when you stand to your left, you stand to your right, you have the confidence of knowing that God is in you, God is with you, He will never fail you, He will never leave you, and He will never give up on you. Just there is nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. There is nothing that you can do to make God ever stop loving you. Thank you. Where's my piano player? The last thing I want to do is I don't want to leave here without providing you guys with the opportunity to know for a fact. Could you play? Thank you. There is no magic prayer that gets you into heaven. There is no magic anything that just makes everything better. But I like to do this. If you need something, if you want a moment in your life that you can look at and go right there, you know, that's my moment. I need a rock, a foundation. I need something in my timeline to know that I was saved, that I have the Christ inside of me, that I have Jesus, right? I'll do that. But I want to make sure you understand there is no magic. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic saying that gets you saved. There is no magic. There's nothing you do or can't do that will make God love you any less than what he does right now. So I'm not going to ask any of you to come forward or anything like that. I'm not going to ask any kind of whatever. Find me just out and about, wherever we are. Find anybody, right? If you need that moment, I'm here. I'm here for whatever you need. I want you to know that I love you. God loves you. Everyone around here loves you. Every single one of you are special. Every single one of you are wanting to be used by God in some way. And if you have no idea what that is, every single person in here is called to go out and love, to go out and show people that unconditional love of God. Because there is a whole world out there right now that's hurting, who feel unloved. And you have that gift to give them. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here right now, God. I thank you for your presence, God. You're everywhere I go. I don't even have to ask, God, for you to be here. You're there with me. I just slow down, close my eyes, and live in the moment, and there you are. You are never separated from me. You can't be separated from me. Your word says that you are the very essence of love. And you can't remove anything from love, God. Love is in literally everything. You have woven yourself into the very fabric of this universe. Nothing can separate us from you. No matter how bad we mess up, God, we are always loved by you. And I cannot thank you enough for that. God, I pray, my prayer is that as I look out on people in this world, God, that I would stop looking at them with my own eyes, Father. God, give me your eyes. Let me look at people the way you see them. Let me look through their faults. Let me look through all the negativity. When somebody comes at me, God, mad and angry, and I know them, God, let me not get upset back, God, but let me look at them and go, this is not your nature. God, are you okay? Brother, are you okay? What's wrong? This isn't like you. God, let me see people through your eyes. Let me see their potential. Let me see their worth, God. Let me see them how you see them. God, I thank you for being exactly what I need you to be when I need you to be it, God. You are Papa. You are Friend. You are Creator. You are King. You are Lion. You are Fortress, but you're also Comforter. You're my shelter. But I think more important than all, God, you're Friend. You're my Friend. I am a friend of the Creator of the universe. I am a friend. I am a child of God. And again, it's not because I've done anything to deserve it. That God, you look down on me, you reach down into that porta potty, and in the midst of all the yuck, you lifted me up and brought me up to where you are. You dusted me off, you cleaned me, God, cleaned me up, and you hugged me, you loved me, and I cannot thank you enough for that. As we go out throughout this day, God, I would pray that you would just allow us to sit in the moment. Be present of where we are, and let us observe those around us. Let us look at the needs, and let us genuinely start asking each other, who does God say you are? And let us, whenever they are hurting and they forget, help us remind them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.